fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome everyone to episode 445 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host Victor, and for this episode we bring you Alex Skolnick. He's here to talk about Metal Allegiance. We talk a little bit about Testament, Sabotage, all those rumors surrounding Ozzy. So we get into all of that stuff up next.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
Quick reminder that in addition to hosting Signals from Mars, I've also worked behind the scenes helping other podcasters. With over 16 years of experience and more than 1,200 episodes that I've produced or appeared on, I offer podcasting editing, ghost hosting interviews, and repurposing content into viral clips, show notes, transcripts, and social media posts. If you've got a podcast and need help making it sound professional, or if you want to turn your episodes into content that actually grows your audience, I can help. Check out the podcasting services page over at signalsfrommars.com. Just go all the way to the right on the menu. You'll see work with me, hover over that, and you'll see podcast services and sponsorship. Let me help you make your podcast stand out. Speaking of sponsorships, Signals from Mars is sponsored by listeners like you and also by great sponsors. If you've got a brand, product, or service that connects with rock and metal fans, I'd love to work with you. Our audience isn't casual. They're collectors, concert goers, and gear buyers who support the bands and brands they love. Sponsorship packages start at just $150 a month and include on-air mentions, social media plugs, and even product features. If you want to connect with a loyal rock and metal audience, head on over to the sponsorship page on signalsfrommars.com to learn more. I want to send a quick shout out to my patrons, Sean Richmond, Tony Espin, Anthony Mackey, Ed Ferguson, Johan Edstrom, Metal Dan, Chris Vaglio, Gabriel Ruiz, Mark Striegel, Brad Dahl, Mike Jones, Jeremy Weltman, Steve Hoker, and Steven Saylor. Thank you guys for all of your support. You can become a patron for as little as $2 a month. All types of great videos. We have a small tribe there, a small community, troll-free. We love talking about music. I post videos daily on there for us to comment about, all types of different questions and polls. And you have the Victor M. Ruiz podcast as well, where I talk about behind-the-scenes stuff and shit going on in my life, so on and so forth. So, yeah, so Alex Skolnick, this is a really cool interview. This one's a long time in the making, and sometimes when you least expect it, a cool interview like this appears. So, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, We dive into a bunch of different things. We focus mainly on Metal Allegiance initially, and then we move on to other things from throughout his career. This was a treat. And it's funny, as I'm recording the interview, I realize Alex Skolnick is actually over my right shoulder during every episode. If you check out the video version of this, you'll see that, you know, I've got a bunch of different things behind me to try to spice things up in the background. So I've got, from bottom to top, it's Eddie Van Halen, Ace Frehley, Dave Mustaine, and Alex Skolnick all in a row. If you don't catch it, it's between the Metallica poster and the Misfits flag that's hanging there in the background. So this is awesome. Hope you guys enjoy it. Just remember, if you're going to be voting on your favorite albums of 1980, the deadline is tomorrow, February 25th, to submit them. Send me your 10 favorite albums, hard rock, metal related, or anything that's remotely close. If you've only got 5, I'll work with that. If you've got 3, I'll work with that. Whatever it is, whatever you submit, I'll work with it. Your number 1 gets 10 points, number 2 gets 9 points, all the way down to 10, which gets 1 point. And it should be a fun discussion this Friday, February 27th. I'm sure that there will be more than one argument that takes place, so it'll be fun. In any event, go to signalsfrommars.com to find out more. And if you want to submit a list, signalsfrommars@signalsfrommars.com. Let's get on with the show. Welcome one and all to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. Joining me is Alex Skolnick. Alex, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Not bad. And I just realized, as the intro video kicks in, you actually appear from some
footage
I shot. So that was the formation of Damnation Tour. You guys were opening up for Judas Priest in San Sebastian, Spain. Megadeth was also opening up, so
yes, I remember this. Yeah,
so that was that's roughly about 3 hours from where so that's 2009 exactly, because I'm remembering that I went to try the I got fitted for my not tuxedo, for my suit for my wedding. So that was back in 2009. That was such a great show, because I mean, three just great bands just firing on all cylinders. I remember you guys had Paul Bostoff on drums, and right away, one of my friends who went with us is a huge Slayer fan, and right away he was started up the whole Lombardo Bostoff conversation, and everyone was against him because he was saying that he preferred Paul's playing because he felt that he was a little bit more adventurous with what he had done. So it was a big thrill for him to see you guys with Paul.
Yeah, sure enough, Paul would be back in Slayer a short time later.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're here to talk a little bit about Metal Allegiance. You guys just released a single, Black Horizon. It features William Duvall of Alice in Chains. Mark Menge is kind of the main guy in Metal Allegiance. When you guys are putting songs together for Metal Allegiance, let's say you bring in a William Duvall, do you pivot in your writing because he's coming into the song, or does he come in after you've already written your parts?
We always write the parts before the vocals happen.
Okay.
So pretty much every Metal Allegiance song has been completed instrumentally.
Okay.
once we have the song finished, then we have a pretty good idea of what type of voice we want to add to the song. In the case of William, these parts didn't really fit anybody else we had worked with.
Okay.
And we needed the right type of voice. And it's just amazing that it worked out that we were able to finally get William, I think, who was perfect for it all along.
Okay. Do you guys tend to demo the songs with different singers, or do you have someone in mind when the completed song is done?
We've never demoed a song with the singer. We've always recorded it and then worked on vocal parts. Occasionally, there might be some edits in the studio just to fit the vocalist or to fit the arrangement. Okay. Maybe a singer will come in and suddenly we have a chorus, or we have another part that we hadn't realized was a chorus and that needs to happen more. Okay. So we'll we'll edit it and have more of those parts, or vice versa. Maybe we'll take something out. But for the most part, we have these songs that sound pretty good instrumentally. And there's a variety. There are cases where we do hear a certain type of voice and we know exactly who we're going to reach out to for it. And then there's others where we just have no idea. And we're just going to throw caution to the wind and hopefully we'll find the right person for that song.
Okay. Is there ever like an oh shit moment where, oh wow, we've been able to get this guy to sing on the track or to be featured on a track that you weren't expecting?
Well, this was one. I mean, this was, this was pretty recent.
Yeah.
But, there have been a couple others. I mean, in the case of Randy from Lamb of God, and he's a close friend of mine, mm-hmm. and we've done events together and worked on projects together, but he was just so crazy busy at the time we were doing this recording with the one that he ended up on. It was like a small miracle that we got him.
Right.
And we also got him in person. So we were actually able to spend the day with him, kind of constructing the parts, tracking and everything.
Okay. And is it ever difficult to convince someone to come in and sing on a track?
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I wouldn't say it's difficult. It's definitely more scheduling than anything.
Okay.
Some of them tend to be more familiar with us. Somebody like Troy Sanders from Mastodon.
Right.
He's done multiple shows with us. Yeah, he's like family.
Okay.
We're never going to have to convince him. Yeah, as long as he likes the track.
Right.
Somebody like Floor Jensen from Nightwish, who was on Power Drunk Majesty, the title track of the second album, part two. If you hear something over there, you can do whatever you want for this. And then that convinced her.
Oh, wow. Cool. You just mentioned shows. You guys did a show recently. And when you're putting the shows together, obviously scheduling is an issue as well to kind of bring everyone in and be able to pull a lot of these songs off live. Has there ever been a situation where you haven't been able to do a show the way that you guys fully intended because you couldn't bring somebody in?
Not really. I mean, I think at this point there's so many songs to choose from. There's so many different vocal styles to choose from We don't need the exact lineups that are on the record. In fact, there are quite a few songs that have been sung by different singers live, depending on availability. We've never had Randy at a show yet. Hopefully that'll change. But you know, he's very hard to pin down. Right. Lamb of God is so busy. But we have had his song sang by Chuck Billy. Mm-hmm. Chuck does a great version of it live. We've had shows where Chuck couldn't make the show. And John Bush could sing his part, and it sounds good. And you know, it's fine. We always make it work somehow. Yeah.
You're also not talking about any slouches either. So even if you're bringing in other people to fill in the parts, they're still bringing their flavor to the table, but they're still excellent musicians, excellent artists on their own.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody has their own thing, and then they'll put their own stamp on the tune. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to imagine the song had it been recorded by this right. person. And it could have worked, but it's different. But once somebody records the voice for one of the songs, they're obviously going to get the first call to come sing the right. song live.
Does playing with somebody live kind of fuel like the inspiration to maybe write a track and have someone involved?
When we did the second album, Power Drunk Majesty, I think at that point we had done a few shows. Mm-hmm. So we had some shows under our belts with different singers.
Right.
And, then we had a pretty good idea of who we'd want to sing certain songs. And, we had some returning people. Like on that album, we had Mark Acequeda, mm-hmm. who had been on the first album. But we had also done a bunch of shows with him, so it made sense to have him come in and
right.
Try something new.
Okay. Are there any tracks that for you are must plays at the Metal Allegiance shows?
There are several. Yeah. The song, Pledge of Allegiance is a must play.
Okay.
That's sort of our P-cells. In a way, we can't not do that song.
Right.
It's a bit of an anthem. There's another one, The Accuser, with the late Trevor from Black Dahlia Murder. Right. Great guy. We all miss a lot. And that song, that's been sung by a couple different people. I believe Chuck's sang that song before. John Bush has really found a great way to do that one live. But that's also become essential. That tends whereas Pledge of Allegiance tends to be a closer or near the end. The Accuser tends to be a good song to kick things off and put towards the beginning of the set.
Okay. And you guys are known for doing covers as well. Are there any covers that you feel like you have to play all the time?
Not all the time.
Okay. No.
There are certain bands, I think, that need to be represented.
Like
Iron Maiden needs to be in there. Metallica's been there quite a bit. There's a few others. Yeah, we've definitely, we've covered some others. And sometimes it depends on who's with us. Mm-hmm. If Chuck's there, kind of makes sense to do a Testament tune. And if Troy is there, a Mastodon tune. So those bands tend to be represented. But as far as bands that we always know we're going to cover, it's at least Iron Maiden and Metallica.
Okay. Is there anything that you haven't covered that you'd like to cover?
I wouldn't mind covering a bit more Rush, even though they're not metal per se. They're like an honorary metal band. It's not that we've never done it too. We did. We have done some Rush, tribute to Neil and his passing. And then actually the very first Metal Legion show that I did, I remember we did Tom Sawyer.
Okay.
And it was really fun. I had never played it live.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's such a classic. And does covering a song like that get you nervous to try to get it kind of perfect, to make it the perfect tribute to that band?
Well, you definitely have to put some more work into it than some of the other songs, you know, because it's just so precise and so well, you know, just the level of execution of Rush is higher than average.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because they weren't trying to be like groups like Maiden and Priest, as tight as they are. Mm-hmm. Rush was, they're listening to Genesis and King Crimson and sort of going for like that level of precision.
Right. Okay. And to you, what's the funnest Metal Allegiance song to play live?
I really like playing Let Darkness Fall, which has Troy Sanders on vocals. And it's just got this really cool breakdown in the middle, kind of Master of Puppets style, where everything stops and then you build the song back up again. Mm-hmm. And it's got a section where there's nylon string acoustic guitar. And we did a couple shows where it was tricky to work that into the show because I have to switch guitars and I play on a separate stand. It's called a Gracie mm-hmm. stand. So you wear your electric guitar, but you switch to this acoustic guitar that's on the stand.
Right.
And it used to be a challenge and somebody forgot to push a button. There was no, we've been through the ringer with it, but this last time we really got it. And the sound came through and it worked. I think we finally figured out how to do it. So that's a fun one. Let Darkness Fall.
Okay. Is it challenging to get the nylon guitar to cut through?
It is. You know, definitely you wouldn't want to do that without a sound check. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anyone that you would like to work with in the future on a Metal Allegiance track?
There's always people. Rob Halford, give us a call.
There you go, Rob. If you're watching, give him a call. So this is a standalone single that's just come out. Excuse me. Is there a full length in the works?
Not at this moment.
Okay.
But I think this song has certainly inspired us and it's created some excitement and some momentum. So I can't promise anything, but it's not impossible that this momentum will somehow channel itself into more music.
Okay.
Let's hope.
Do you think it makes more sense to maybe work on a single at a time or maybe an EP as opposed to doing a full length?
I think at this point, doing a single at a time is a lot more convenient, because doing a full length LP really requires blocking out a big chunk of time in one's calendar that a lot of us just don't have these days.
Right.
When we did the, debut Metal Allegiance recording in, 2014, it was just miraculous that we had the time. I had wrapped up a couple solo projects. I had done a record with my trio a couple years before and didn't feel I needed to rush.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. and I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Back in the studio, I had just done a big acoustic world music album called Planetary Coalition. And this Testament was wrapping up an album cycle and had some time off. So it was just kind of, it just felt like, the stars aligned.
Gotcha.
In that case, but the way things have been, especially in recent years, we've just been so busy. But we can one song at a time. We can certainly manage. So,
okay.
Who knows? Maybe you'll see more singles. That would be great.
Okay, cool. You just mentioned Testament, Parabellum. At least on my show, was voted the listener's second favorite album of the year. For some reason, Alice Cooper snuck in there and got number one. No one saw that coming.
Okay. Well, if we're going to be number two to somebody, it might as well be Alice Cooper.
So there you go, but
we'll take it.
The one thing that was brought up consistently, there was one word that was associated to you throughout people's feedback. And even when we reviewed the album a few months ago when it came out, the one word was magic, and it was associated to your soloing specifically on the album.
Thank you. That's so nice.
One of the reviewers that does the shows with me, who's a guitarist himself, mentioned how he felt that your playing was just at a different level on Parabellum, and felt that you could kind of notice that a lot of work went into not only the compositions, but the actual soloing. Like, none of the soloing was throwaways. And we talked about how, there's opposed to how Testament started out, where you guys were probably rushed to put albums out and stuff like that. Now you guys are much more conscious, it seems like, when you're writing and putting things out. So, That was what was brought forward, just how important.
That's so nice. Yeah.
How do you feel your writing process and your soloing has changed from the beginning to now?
Well, I just think experience has a lot to do with it. There's just no comparison. Having done quite a few records.
Right.
And just knowing what that process is like and knowing what to expect versus, the beginning when, you haven't been in a studio and you look at the mixing console and it just looks like this thing from outer space and you just have no concept of, what is supposed to happen, When do I get to play? And the process and when did the drum tracks get laid down? When did the bass rhythm tracks get laid down? The whole thing. And having been through it, I think it helps, and it also just adds to the the process of creating something that you would want to listen to,
right?
Like, that excites you instead of, just going in and, playing a bunch of takes, hoping for the best. Okay, I can live with this one. Really working on it. Let's make this something that, I would get excited about as a listener.
Right.
And knowing how to do that. But that just comes with experience. So it's true. A lot more does go into it. I think it's also helped that we're not as dependent on recording studios as we used to be. The drums still need to be recorded in a proper recording studio, but overdubs such as the solos don't necessarily need to be. And just so to be able to take your time and just say, instead of booking some high-end recording studio by the hour and feeling the pressure of, you know, the clock ticking and knowing it's costing a record label money that the band is going to have to pay back. You know, not having that, it's like, oh, you know, I have a free evening tonight. I'm going to, here's how I'm going to work out these solos. I feel like, you know, after midnight, I'm going to be really feeling good about this. And, but, you know, I could do that. Whereas that, yeah, so that it makes a big difference just having all these options, such as being able to record at home.
Yeah. And it's cool that you guys went in and recorded actual drums, where as a wannabe musician myself and messing around with Superior Drummer and stuff like that, you hear albums and you're like, wow, you know, right, those cymbals are this patch or, you know, that. Yeah. So it's refreshing to hear live drums on an album. It gives it a whole different energy and vibe to it. To me, I think it's so important, especially in metal music.
Yeah, to me, there's no comparison. I just, you know, I think the drum programs are fine for demos. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I mean, I've made my own demos of parts that people have asked, who's playing the drums? It's great, but there it's true. When it comes to like an actual album, mm-hmm, and the song that's going out into the world that people hear, it really makes a difference just to have it played live.
Yeah. I think of a lot of classic albums as well. Like we touched upon Maiden. You think about a lot of those Martin Birch albums that he did, whether it's some of those albums with Dio and Sabbath, or even, right, you know, Power Slave or Peace of Mind, where you listen to those albums and they still sound fresh and vibrant today, like as if you're in the room with them, with a drum, yeah, sound so alive.
That's so, yeah, true.
So I think it's so important.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have been the case if those albums had been done with drum programs.
Right.
They just would not have the level of intensity that they have.
Yeah, absolutely. How important is it for you as a musician to have all the outlets that you have? Does it help recharge your batteries, you know, when you're recording with Testament? Does doing your trio help because you're getting, you know, a certain sense of energy or creativeness through writing for the trio? Then when you go back to Testament, it's a different sort of release for you, or is it all kind of the same?
No, it's very different. Yeah. It's very helpful, you know, because of the trio albums, I steer the ship, okay, on those. I decide on the songs, and, you know, I obviously consult with the guys in the band and respect how they feel about parts, but I have the final say, mm-hmm, and I can say, oh yeah, here's, I produced this, I composed and arranged this, and I can point to that and just say, yeah, I can take credit for all this. And I'm no less proud of my work with Testament, but it is, it's a collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. And, I have my role there,
right,
as a lead player, and I do the best I can. I make suggestions. They're not always taken. Mm-hmm. Sometimes later I'll agree, that they were right not to take that, but sometimes they are. They're very different musical situations, and they balance each other out, because, right, it's, you know, I'm not dependent on Testament to be this thing that, you know, where I have all this creative control. Mm-hmm. I have other projects where I can do that.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people get hung up on the best of this or the best of that. And you even mentioned it with Rush before. There's different proficiencies in music depending on styles and different things. You may like a certain style more, but I think with music and all the arts, there's like no definitive best of. It's whatever speaks to you, you know?
Sure.
So to absolutely say, oh, well, you know, Alex is best at this.
Right.
You know, is kind of, I don't know, kind of putting a ceiling on you as far as being a creative person or, you know, an artist where you're trying to kind of paint different pictures with the different things that you're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, there are a lot of opinions out there.
Definitely.
And that's fine. You know, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But nobody really knows what goes on or what an artist's intention is, except for that artist.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, a lot of people get too caught up in their own opinions, I believe.
Yeah, it seems, and especially in recent years where with social media and everything else, people feel that they know an artist. You know, you've become the soundtrack of my life. All these years. So all of a sudden I know you because I can interact with you on social media. But as you're saying, you know, you don't really know the artist. You don't know what's 100% what's going on behind just what you're interpreting.
Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, social media can be great because it does give artists an outlet to present ourselves the way we want to be presented. Right. You know, when Testament does a promotional photo shoot, it's the photo that each of us like can live with that. Yeah, there's plenty of photos that one of us will say, no, can't, please don't use that. I hate the way I appear. And that's why, yeah, many photos are taken and then, you know, there's a small batch where everybody likes it. Okay, and it may not be my favorite photo of me, but it's okay. It's, you know, but, it, you know, you're limited with just promotional photos or just magazines or, you know, just traditional media. Having social media, especially as an individual artist, you can put up any photo you want. You can put up any type of playing you want, you know? And so I like that aspect of it. So on the other hand, like you're saying, it amplifies opinions. There's always been a lot of opinions from listeners out there. And now they're amplified. Now we're all sharing this giant bulletin board
right,
electronically. So we were bombarded with opinions and that can be a little overwhelming. Yeah.
Understood. Another band that you had been involved with, Savatage, is putting out an album this year. Do you have any involvement at all in that album? Were you asked to appear on it at all as being a previous member?
No, I mean, they have, a two guitar lineup, with Chris and Al. They don't need anybody else. I'm happy for them. I'm so glad they're finally, up and running again. 'Cause, you know, Testament, we reunited and then it really led to this whole resurrection of the band. And so I always knew if Savatage got together, especially in Europe with all the European festivals and all the opportunities would be there. And there's such appreciation. Just the one record I did with them, I'm asked about it often. You know, there's just so many dedicated fans of the band for sure, but also of that album. So I'm happy for them, and I'm happy. You know, they'll be just fine without me.
Okay. And you're a small company of people that got to play with Ozzy. There mm-hmm. are so many rumors about people like a Michael Schenker, like a Bernie Torme, and Alex Skolnick being able to play with Ozzy, even if you didn't make it on an album. From what's out there on the internet, you played a few shows with him and then nothing else materialized after that. But like we're saying, you know, no one knows the full truth outside of people that were actually involved. So can you share what actually took place?
Yeah. I'm in very good company because the list of players that either played with Ozzy or almost were in the running to play with Ozzy is great company to be Absolutely. In. Just some amazing players. Yeah. So it's a big honor. And I actually did get to play with them. It was one show.
Okay.
It was a few rehearsals. And the one show was in Nottingham, in the UK, a venue called Rock City.
Okay.
And Ozzy had done other shows there before. He would do an unannounced show, and it would often be booked last minute. This is my understanding. Okay. Is that, the venue would have a local band or a tribute band or somebody they could bump and reschedule.
Right.
And then, it's this. And then that day, tickets would go on sale. Oh, yeah, it's the Ozzy secret show or whatever. And so that's what this was. And the show sort of followed like a regular audition, a full rehearsal. And, I basically spent, I think it was about a week and a half in their orbit. And it was fascinating. It was my first time being around a celebrity at that level. Mm. And I mean, it really hadn't been that long since I'd been in high school. Just all me and all my friends just idolizing Ozzy. Right. And here I was playing guitar for him. And also Geezer Butler. Geezer was playing bass for him at that moment. And so half of Black Sabbath and, and doing Ozzy songs at this point, there had been Zach, there had been Jakey Lee, in addition to Randy, mm-hmm. who was one of my big idols. So, it was a lot. I was given a lot of songs to learn, probably, I think 20.
Okay.
And, I think we probably played about half that many in the end, but it was certainly a crash course in all things Ozzy.
Okay.
And from what I was told, the show went really well, and the crew thought I was a good fit. Everybody around him thought I was a good fit. The Ozzy told me he wanted me to play for him, but the only person that didn't seem excited was Sharon.
Okay.
And I've talked about this before, but knowing what I know about showbiz and people in the entertainment industry, I think she had gotten used to Zach and Zach's presentation. Mm-hmm. And I think my guy was Randy, mm-hmm. like this kind of guitar nerd,
right?
That was sort of given a flashy guitar and put into a leather vest, and just did this great thing. And I related to that because I was sort of nerdy, and I was thinking about going back to music school, which I actually did after this whole experience.
Right.
And that's where I was coming from. But I think, you know, she really liked the sort of biker image of somebody like Zach. And, you know, it ended up just being that one show, but still it was a great experience, and it puts me in company with all these amazing players. So
yeah,
it's a nice little feather in the cap, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's very few people again that can say, hey, I got to get up there and do an entire show. I mean, it's not like one of these shows where he gets up on stage, or, you know, one of these usual like tribute type shows where
It wasn't an event or an award show or something like that. No, it was a full-fledged Aussie show.
Yeah. Was there any song out of that catalog? I mean, you're saying that you're a Randy nerd. Was there any specific song that you were really glad that you got to play with him?
Mr. Crowley, you know, because to me that's... it's just so definitive of Randy, you know. You know, it's just, and it captures so much of what I liked about Ozzy. I felt like that song really had the modernness that he had. I mean, there were other songs I love, you know, obviously Crazy Train, and, you know, so many others are, you know, felt like current and post 70s, but I felt like Mr. Crowley it had the darkness of Black Sabbath, but with that sort of freshness that we were hearing in the early 80s, the post Van Halen period.
Yeah, makes sense.
And that was also the first guitar solo of Randy's that I'd ever heard.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah, because most people, I guess, would have heard Crazy Train or something like that, which there's, I mean, that's a great solo as well. But the Mr. Crowley solo is.
Yeah, I had some friends who were, when I was in, I must have been in junior high school at the time, that knew I was a Van Halen fan and knew I would play guitar. And they say, you have to hear this guitar player. And that was the first thing that they played me. Oh. So it was a very full circle moment to play that song. But I just got a message. I'm supposed to be on another interview right now. They put all these interviews back to back.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I was going to wrap things up anyway. So I do appreciate your time, Alex.
No problem. Thank you, Victor. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. See you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.